Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The New Testament lesson for today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. This can be found on page 1174 of your Pew Bible. The Apostle Paul concludes this letter of encouragement to the church at Thessalonica with instructions for standing firm in the faith, living a life of joyful holiness and love for one another in the assurance of the promises of Jesus Christ. A reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with the 12th verse. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you, in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
It has been the privilege of a lifetime to be your pastor. Thank you. I heard this expression once, I think when I was in seminary, that said, the search committee of a church hires a pastor with the hopes that the pastor will grow the church. But what often also ends up happening is that the church grows the pastor. That has certainly happened in my case. I believe that we have all grown and learned a lot together. My family has grown. In fact, I brought a picture of my two kids, Riley and Eva, from the fall that we moved here. That's how little they were. My, how they've grown. We've grown with you, and I thank you for that. I've learned a lot from you. I believe that the Holy Spirit has taught all of us together. And if you've lived a few years here in this world, you know something that I've learned, which is that a lot of what we learn is by learning what not to do. I'd like to be able to look back at the last 13 years and say, I got everything right. There's a lot of things that we've learned just through trial and error. And the Lord, in his mercy and in his grace, he gives us gifts, even as he warns us to avoid certain pitfalls. And throughout Scripture, there are a number of these. I call them the do nots. God says, do not do this thing, because he wants to give us this other gift. I'll give you an example. Here's one that's pretty commonly known. It's from Philippians chapter 4, where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious. God has a grace gift to give you, the peace of Christ. The do nots, they're not like finger wagging no's. We learned this two Sundays ago in our scripture that Christianity is not a no, 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 but all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. So the do nots of scripture, they're almost just teeing up the grace gift. They're teeing up the promises of God. It's almost like God is saying, you don't have to be anxious because my perfect peace is a gift for you. So that's an example of a do not. But today, in my final message with you, I chose four other do nots and the promises that come with them as my final message to you. Things that I believe we've learned together. This is not me standing here telling you I have all the answers. These are mostly things that I've learned from you over these last 13 years of being a pastor here at Stanwich Church. So there's four do nots. Think of it this way. God says, do not, or I'm saying this, do not, God will. Do not, God will. Do not be anxious. God will give you peace. That's the example. Let's go through the four do nots and the promises that come as my final message to you as your pastor. The first one comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, which my son Riley just read for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Well, it's a well-known secret around here that the best thing we got going on at this church is the Holy Spirit. The presence, the power, the consistency, the grace, the mercy, the direction, the sanctification that comes from the Holy Spirit. And this do not comes to us from Scripture saying, do not quench that. That word quench in the Greek, it might have been better translated as extinguish. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is described sometimes as water, sometimes as wind, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is described as fire. And that's the image that's happening here in this verse. And Paul, to the church in Thessalonica, is saying, don't extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit. I love burning firewood in the fire pit at the parsonage. That's been one of my favorite things to do, is sit out there in that yard and just have people come and gather around that fire pit. It's amazing how when you light a fire, it brings warmth, it brings community, it brings conversation, it brings fellowship, all these warm things. The Holy Spirit is kind of that way. We have this burning fire in this church called the Holy Spirit, and he unites us. He brings us together, and it's a power that can last. When we burn the fire pit at my parsonage, it'll last for hours. You just keep feeding it logs, and it just keeps that fellowship going for hours. Yet, at the end of the night, before I go to bed, sometimes I go out there with a bucket of water, and I quench it or I extinguish it. And in a moment, that fire just goes, it's gone. The warning from the Bible here is it's saying, don't do that. If you have something as precious as we have here at Stanwich Church, the fire of the Holy Spirit, don't extinguish that. And you might be wondering, well, how could you possibly extinguish the power of the Holy Spirit? In a word, there's one way that I think we can do this as people, as humans, and the word is control. The Holy Spirit is like a wind. It's like water. It's like fire. You have to let it go. And when we try to control it, we try to package it, we put it into a neat little program, or we try to take matters into our own hands, we extinguish it like pouring water over a fire. If you know me well, you know that this has been my journey over the last few months. The last 5 months have been really hard for me, because the Holy Spirit started moving in my life and started calling me away from this beloved community, Stanwich Church. And if you know me well, you know that I haven't been real happy about it. I've been arguing with the Lord. I've been trying to take control of what the Holy Spirit is doing. I was trying to negotiate with him for a while. Lord, maybe you could do this in a couple of years from now. We got a good thing going on here. Maybe I can negotiate with Hope College and we can prolong this and I can stay right where I'm happy. But what I've had to do, guys, is surrender. My life is surrendered. And God has a promise when he says, do not quench, do not extinguish the Holy Spirit. Remember, the do nots come with a promise. And look what happens when we try to control it. But God's offering this greater promise that his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were doing this right up until the very end. They wanted human control. They wanted human power instead of the Holy Spirit. And they ask him right before he ascends to heaven, will you bring the kingdom? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this point? And this is Jesus' response in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. You will receive power. He knew what was on their hearts. They wanted power. They wanted national power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When we surrender, when we don't try to take control of what only God can control, he sends his greater power into our lives. That's the promise. Do not quench, do not extinguish, do not try to control the Holy Spirit. God will give power. So I want to show you this. We're going to go through these four do nots and the promises. I want you to see where we are so far. Do not quench the Spirit. And the promise is that God will give us power. And I'm expecting, with my life being surrendered as it is right now to this fire that's raging in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit in my life, I'm expecting power of the Holy Spirit to come both in my future ministry at Hope College and right here at Stanwich Church as well. This is the promise he's given us. All right, what's the next do not in the promise that comes? Number two, do not neglect to meet together. Do not neglect to meet together. That comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. The Bible here is talking about what we're doing right now. We're meeting together. We're gathered for worship. The Bible is saying, don't neglect to do that. Don't stop doing that. Because God has a promise he wants to pour out for us when we meet together like this. I've been a little surprised over the last few weeks since I made my announcement that I'm leaving. There's something kind of touching about what some people have been saying, but I've been a little surprised at some of what I've been hearing. They've been saying things like, Nathan, we're so sad you're leaving because we were just starting to love Stanwich Church. And I want to say to all of them, oh, Stanwich Church is not leaving. The pastor's switching out. See point number one about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has no plans to leave this church, so you better not leave this church too. Listen, I'm going to be watching on YouTube. I can see through that lens who's here. You think sitting in the balcony you're hiding? I got cameras in this place. I'm just kidding. I don't have any cameras in this place. But I want you to not neglect meeting together. But even when a pastoral transition happens and some people decide they're going to stop meeting together, that's one thing, and I hope that you won't make that mistake. There's all kinds of reasons, though, that people neglect to meet together, to gather for worship. Those of you who have young kids, you have something coming up in your life. You're going to be invited into youth sports, all kinds of youth sports, including youth sports that occur on Sunday mornings. And they're going to look very attractive to you as you think about what's important for your kids' development and what's going to build up their resume to get them into the best schools and have success in life. And you're going to say yes to some of those sports on Sunday mornings. And what's going to happen is you're going to neglect to meet together here with God's chosen people, God's gathered people for worship. And it's going to happen slowly and maybe even unintentionally over time. And as a pastor, I meet with people of all ages. And over the years, I've met with a lot of people who are in their 50s and 60s and have young adult kids in their 20s. And I've heard a lot of those people sit in my office and lament. They say, Pastor, my kids aren't walking with the Lord anymore. I don't know what happened. And sometimes I hear them regret having wrong prioritization of their kids' schedules when they were growing up. I hear regrets. And you know, this is just an observation. I'm just tossing it out there. As a pastor, I've heard lots of those regrets. Here's a regret I've never heard in all my years of ministry. I've never once heard a 50 or 60-year-old person say, you know, I regret bringing my kids to church every Sunday. It's just an observation. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. What's the promise that comes when we do the do not? When we don't have to do the thing that we think we have to do, what does God give us as a grace gift? Well, let's look at Hebrews 10. The verses that surround the one I just read, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, give us the promise. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see that capital D, day? All the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, one of the things that happens when we gather for worship like this is we anticipate. Yes, we look backwards at what God has done for us in the past, but we look forwards to the day of Christ's return, the day when the whole gospel story gets culminated when Jesus Christ returns to earth and sets all things right. From the earliest days of Christianity, this was one of the purposes of gathering for Sunday worship. We know this because the early church buildings, the architecture tells us something. Unlike the synagogues from the Old Testament, those church buildings, the synagogues, they faced a direction. You know what direction they faced? Towards Jerusalem, as a recognition of God's presence in the Holy of Holies. But the early churches, they stopped gathering on Saturdays as the Sabbath. They started gathering on Sundays, and they aimed their buildings towards the sunrise. They met on Sundays because that's the morning that Jesus rose from the dead, and they pointed their architecture, their buildings towards the sunrise, anticipating, hoping for his imminent return. You see, that's the promise. That's the grace gift that happens to us. Yes, we're here to disciple our kids and to read the word and to worship, but we also gather on Sundays to hope. To hope in Christ's return. So to keep track of where we are so far with the do-nots and the promises that come, do not quench the spirit because God wants to release his power. Do not neglect to meet together because God has hope for us, dear church. All right, what's the third do-not with a promise? It comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I'm pretty sure the author of Proverbs wasn't thinking of the terms right and left the way we use the terms right and left. So I'm taking a little bit of liberty with this one. But this is something I've learned as a pastor over the last several years of this politically fraught environment that we are in. I've learned the consistency and the faithfulness of God's truth through his word preached every single Sunday has kept our church on the right path. There's been tugs, I'll say, for me to swerve to the right or to the left. And my wife, Nancy, has helped me valiantly to not do that. She's talked me off the ledge several times. After I get pressure from certain people saying, Nathan, why are you silent about such and such? Why are you silent? They're trying to get me to swerve to the right or to the left. And Nancy gives me these pep talks. Stay the course. Preach the gospel. You owe a debt of gratitude to her if you're grateful for this part of my ministry. Good job, Nancy. But the writer of Proverbs paints this really vivid picture for us that really helps drive home this point. Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 25, shows us this. I'm sorry, Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. It gives us this picture of this walking down a path where there are roots and there are rocks and there are pitfalls. And there's all these temptations to swerve to the right or to the left. And the Bible is saying, don't do that. Stay straight on the path. And there's another verse in Psalm 119, that really shows us how we can stay on that path, not swerving to the right or to the left. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Folks, I look around at what's going on in our nation, and I see that we are stumbling down the path of history right now. We are stumbling down the path of history. We are swerving to the right and the left all over the place. We're way off the rails. What will keep us back? What will get us back on track? The word. It's a light for our path. It's a light for our feet. The written word is the Bible. The living word is Christ. When we follow Jesus Christ, the living word, he will guide our path. Sometimes when we follow Christ, the ethic of Christ, the way of Christ, sometimes it will look like something on the left in our current political category. Sometimes it will look like things on the right in our current political categories. But it will keep us on the straight path, and it will get us out of this season that we are in as a nation. I just want to really drive this point home one more time in one other way. And this might be a good word for the search committee looking for the next senior pastor. I'm going to pull aside from this. You see this piece of furniture here in the middle of the room? This is a pulpit. Not a podium. A podium can have anybody stand behind it and can talk about any human idea they want. But a pulpit has the word. A pulpit has the light for our feet and a lamp for our path. A pulpit points not just from the written word, but to the living word, Jesus Christ, who will guide us. So this pulpit needs to remain a pulpit if we are to stay on the right track. Amen. Stay with that. Stay with that. So where are we so far? Do not quench the spirit. God will give us power. Do not neglect to meet together. God will give us hope. Max, go ahead and put that up there. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. God will give us his truth. Now, there's one more do not, with one more promise, one more grace gift that comes. And it's the most important one of all. But before I get to that one, I couldn't help, but I found some honorable mentions, some other do nots. I got to squeeze them in. Real quick, these will go by quickly, and then we'll get to the fourth do not. There's some other do nots in Scripture with promises that come with them as well. This first one is for those of you who are just on the West Virginia trip or who do the Stanwich World Missions. You're involved in helping people. This is Galatians 6, verse 9. Do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This next one is for those of you who are overeducated, which is to say most of us here in Greenwich. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. That was my memory verse as a confirmand in seventh grade. This next one's for you young people. Thank you, 6th through 12th graders, for staying in the service today. Here's one for you, for the young people. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And now the next one's for the old people. Do not say, Ecclesiastes 7:10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Oh, yes. Okay. This last one is for anybody who's still harboring any kind of unforgiveness. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. See, God's so gracious. He gives us a do not because he wants to give us the blessing. All right, the final do not and blessing. It's one that you hear often in Scripture. Do not fear. Isaiah 41, verse 10, and many other scriptures. Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, church. Now, I know what some of you might be experiencing because I know that you watch cable news all week. And I know you might be thinking, boy, this pastor is unaware. There's a lot to fear out there. There's a lot of scary things going on in our world. Well, number one, stop watching cable news. But number two, yes, it's true there's fearful and scary things happening in our world, but the command of Scripture is clear. Do not fear. You don't have to fear. And the promise that God gives us, the grace gift that God gives us in how to solve all of our fears is quite clear. God's made it quite clear. What allows us to not fear? Well, 1 John 4, verse 18 says it very clearly. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. There's been one example in all of human history of perfect love. And that is what happened when Jesus died on the cross. Perfect, unselfish, generous, sacrificial love. When we believe in what happened on the cross, when we meditate on what we call the gospel, what God did for us in Christ, we realize we have nothing else to fear. Because when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he conquered our greatest enemies. He conquered sin, which is an enemy to the flesh, by taking on the consequences of sin upon his own body on the cross. He conquered death when he rose from the grave, and he conquered Satan in these activities. Sin, death, and Satan, our greatest enemies, the biggest things we might have to fear in this life, Jesus already conquered them. So when we hide ourselves behind the cross and we believe in the gospel, we have nothing to fear in this world. We don't even have to fear death when it comes. Because of what happened on the cross, death is simply an entrance into glory. So stop shaking in your boots. I was accused this week, good-naturedly, but I was accused this week of only really preaching one sermon over the last 13 years. The same thing. This guy said in his life group, every week they look at the scripture that I'm going to preach, and they're like, well, we know Nathan's just going to talk about the cross with this scripture. How is he going to get to the cross from this? Guilty as charged. Why have I done that? Why have I pointed you over and over and over and over again like a mockingbird singing the same song every week from this pulpit? Because I believe in the power of the gospel. And I know that if we keep believing in that, we'll have nothing else to fear. We'll be the type of fearless Christians that our world needs. Do not fear. And when we do not, God does. God will give us his love. So where are we? Do not quench the spirit, because God wants to unleash and give us the grace gift of power, better power than anything this world could offer. Do not neglect to meet together, because God wants to give us hope. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, because God has given us his truth. And do not fear, because God keeps pouring out his love. Look with me at the right-hand column of this little chart today. Power, hope, truth, love. Aren't these the things the human soul longs for? We want this. And aren't these the things that our world needs the most? Church, I believe that if we keep doing what we're doing here right now, the simple act of being a church, worshiping God, knowing Christ, and making him known, then our world will start receiving these things through the Holy Spirit through us, by the Holy Spirit through us, power, hope, truth, and love. And I believe that we will change culture in that way. This is going to sound like a little bit of a bold statement, but I really believe it. I think the power of the local church, what we're doing right here, is so strong that if everyone in our entire country belonged to, worshiped in, and served at a church like this, most of our problems would be gone by next week. Amen. So keep doing this, church. I'm watching through the cameras. Keep doing it. Well, it's true that if I gave you that these commands, do not, God will, and if I sent you out here, you know, just saying good luck with all that, I know human nature. I know that many of us would fail. But God won't. In fact, there's a benediction right here in the 1 Thessalonians passage that I want to close with. I want to give this to you as my final benediction to you. Riley read it well a few minutes ago, but I just want you to hear it again. You might even close your eyes and open your palms to hear this, receive this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.